And so we talked about it, and he said to me, he said, you know, I know what I need to be doing. I know the difference between right and wrong, but I choose to do what I know I shouldn't be doing a lot of the time, and more recently than in the past. And I said, that's what this message is on tonight, knowing the right way and the wrong way and how to differentiate between those two. So I have a question for you guys. Would it be fair to be punished for something that you didn't know was right? Our brain tells us, no, well, that wouldn't be fair if I didn't know, or if it was wrong, excuse me. Would it be fair to be punished for something that you didn't know was wrong? You did something and you said, oh, I didn't know that it was wrong. Our brain tells us, no, it's probably not fair to be punished for that. Well, you know, I ask the question from time to time, well, do you know the difference between right and wrong? It's kind of an elementary question. Most of us would raise our hand, yeah, we know the difference between right and wrong. But we still, as the guy at work said, I still choose to do wrong. I still choose to do the thing that I know I ought not to be doing. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be in Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading verses 16 through 32 and kind of breaking that down and talking about, or discussing what Paul has, this letter he's written to the Romans. And as you guys are turning there, verses 1 through 14, 15 is talking about Paul, and he's on his, he's out spreading the gospel as he does. He's out doing his thing, preaching the gospel, sharing with other people the love of Jesus. And he writes to the Roman church, the believers in Rome, saying, I want to be with you guys right now. I want to share the gospel in Rome, but I can't right now because he's doing his other ministries in other parts of the world. So in verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving their natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come to you tonight, Lord, and I pray for this small group of believers who decided to show up tonight, Lord, this small family that decided to show up tonight, God, that our hearts and minds can be open to things of your word, Lord, and to really realize and see where we fall into this this knowledge of good and evil, Lord, and God, I pray that your spirit can be a moving force in this place tonight, God, and I want to ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. So as I was reading this and I was working through it, I came down to Ashley. I was like, man, I can't figure this out. I got so much going on, this, that, and the other. And she said, you always do this. She said, you always do this. You always try and put what you want into God's message. You always try and put what you think it should sound like, what you think it should be like, into the message. So I took a step back and I got to thinking about it and said, yeah, you're right. So tonight, my prayer was that the Spirit guides this message and that you guys can get something out of it. I don't know how exactly it's going to turn out, but I know it's going to be good. So let's look at verse 19. So Paul's writing to the Romans and talking about how we know the difference between right and wrong. We can see that through this moral compass or this rationale that we have in a conscience is what Paul is talking about here. He's saying, hey, you Romans who are out committing all these bad things, you know the difference between right and wrong. You know what you should be doing, and you know what you should not be doing. And how do we know that? Well, our conscience. God's given us a brain, right? We realize what's right, what's wrong, what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing, but yet we still choose to do things from time to time. So, you know, as a believer, we obviously, the Holy Spirit's taken the place of conscience. So we're not just relying on ourselves to make these decisions. We're not just relying on, oh, what makes me feel the best or what makes me feel good. When Jesus took residency up inside of us, the Holy Spirit took residency up inside of us, we are able to be guided by Him. These Romans here were not being guided by the Holy Spirit. They were being guided by their selfish desires. They were being guided by their lusts, by their wants, their fleshly desires, and it's not looking good for them. But we have a conscience, and it gives us reason and rationale. It's our moral compass. But how they are using it is how we have all used it. They want what they want. They want what is what's pleasing to them, what's convenient for them, what is easy for them. And it talks about how they're able to realize that through this conscience that God has given them in verse 20, they are able to realize God for who He is, what He's capable of, His eternal power and even His Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So that they have this conscience that God's instilled in them. They can see, verse 20 says, they can see the invisible things from Him, from the creation of the things that are clearly seen. So those things that He's talking about are nature, people, all the things that He created for good. We can see that God is around. Even if our brain doesn't process it, we can see as unbelievers, we can see that there is a living God. We know that there's a higher power. And it says here in verse 20 that we know that there's an eternal power and also the Godhead, meaning God the Creator, God the Father. But verse 21 says that these people, even though they knew that, they didn't glorify Him as God, and neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So for that, because they didn't want to glorify God for who He was, for the Creator, for the Provider, for God the Father, and they weren't thankful for what He had given them, verse 24 says that God gave them up to uncleanliness. God gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts. So these people, these Romans, these people were saying, okay, God, I hear You, I see You, I know from this conscience that You've given me what You want for my life, what You want me to do, but I'm not going to glorify You. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to continue to do what I want to do. And so God said, okay, step one, have at it. Do what you want to do. Gave them up through lust of their own hearts. So whatever they wanted, whatever their desire was, God said, have at it. It's not Me. See where it gets you. Verse 25, and I found this this verse to be interesting as well. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. These people were still hearing the word of God in Rome. This verse tells us that there were people that were still preaching the gospel here because they were turning the word of God. They were changing the word of God into a lie. When we hear the word of God for what it is, a lot of the times it doesn't sit well with us. A lot of the time it's not a feel-good thing. It's not something that is meant to not stir up any emotion or reaction. God's word is something that is powerful, and if you let it, it will move you, and it can move you. But these people made it what they wanted. These people made it so that God got on their bandwagon. Jimmy says it all the time. We shouldn't be having God get on our bandwagon, but we need to get on his. And this is exactly what's happening in verse 25. They didn't worship God. So when I hear this, it makes me think, why on earth would these people do that? It doesn't make any sense to me why these people know through their conscience who God is, what he's capable of, what he stands for, who he is, and they still choose not to do it. And then I remember, oh yeah, I was one of them. I was one of them at one time. But through the Holy Spirit, thankfully, I was able to be moved on from that lifestyle. But these people are changing the truth of God into a lie. And not only that, but they're worshiping and serving what God has created. So they're saying, okay, God, I realize you're doing this, but I'm no longer going to glorify you or be thankful for you. So he gives them up to themselves, their lust. In verse 25, he says, I'm not going to worship you or serve you. In verse 26, says, God gave them up to their vile affections. And this is a spot where we can see in verse 26 and 27 that homosexuality kind of is running its course here. Women are being with women, men are being with men. And they're seemingly okay with it. But, you know, as I was reading this, each of these things point back to these people know what they're doing. And that's why it's so bad. These people understand that God doesn't want them to be doing this. They understand that they're not glorifying him, that they're not thankful for him, that they're not worshiping or serving him. And these people fully realize that, because at the end of verse 27 it says, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Receiving in themselves. So after they commit these acts, after they go out and do this sin, whatever that sin may be, and they commit that sin, in themselves, they are realizing that they messed up. Their moral compass is ticking, saying, hey, you know you shouldn't be doing this, but they do it anyway. And why do they do it anyway? The same reason this world is doing things the same way that Rome was. Satan has put a blinder in front of the eyes of the unbelievers so that he can keep them on his path, on his train, on his train tracks, and his path to destruction as long as he can. And that's what's happening here. It says these men, they realized, they came to themselves, receiving in themselves what was going on. So they had this realization that, hey, we are screwing up, but I'm going to continue doing it because this is what I want. This is what I want to do. So what does God do? Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So God gives them up a third time. First one was because they weren't glorifying him or being thankful. The second one, they weren't worshiping or serving him. They were doing what they wanted to do. This one was, they didn't even want him. They didn't even think about him. They didn't seek him. They didn't consult at all. They were completely, at this point, turned off from the idea of God. Not the idea of God, the idea of God the Father. They still had idols and worshipped all sorts of things other than God. They wanted that vision of, this is what God is, but this God that I'm worshiping, he's here to serve me. This God that I'm worshiping, he's getting me what I want. This God that I'm worshiping, he's making my life easy. He's making my life fun. He's making my life joyful, fake joy. And they're going after that, and that's what they want. And they're loving every minute of it. And it seems like there's no way to turn back from the lifestyle that they're living. And so God gives them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then verses 29 through 31, this is the end game. This is what these people wanted. They wanted to have that sinful lifestyle. They wanted to have that carefree, oh, I can do what I want and I don't feel anything about it. I don't have any convictions. I don't have any care in the world. And this was the lifestyle that they were longing for. And God said, okay, if this is what you want, you don't want me, have at it. See where it gets you. See where it gets you. And there's tons of specific examples of what was going on. Covetousness, wickedness, they're full of envy, murder, debate, backbiters of God, backbiters, haters of God, inventors of evil things. Inventors of evil things. These people were coming up with new ways to sin. They were coming up with new ways to defile God's word and to live their lifestyle that they thought was fun, to live the lifestyle of sin and death. And they were completely okay with that. They were completely fine with doing the exact opposite from what God wanted them to do. And we look at the world today and we see that this Rome that Paul is talking about in the New Testament, that this Rome that he is writing this letter to, this Rome, these people who are lost and living this outlandish lifestyle. We look at the world today, and it's almost a parallel from this old time, this stuff that was written in a book over 2,000 years ago. We see the world acting the exact same way as Rome. We see people in this world acting the exact same way as these people in Rome did. And that's what the world says is okay. And as a human being, our one of our natural desires is to go with the flow. We want to fit in. We want to be what everybody says we should be. We want to be what everybody wants us to be. We don't want to disappoint. We don't want to pump the brake and say, "Hey man, I don't know if that's right." We were all kids once. We were all maybe adults. Hey, peer pressure. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's have fun. This. Don't you want to be cool? Don't you want to do this? And the world says, "Do it. What's the worst that's going to happen? Do what you want. Get your best life now. Do exactly what you want, because in the end, that's all that matters is your happiness. All that matters is what you want to do." And that's what the world is telling us. Any media outlet, a lot of churches are telling us that today, saying, "Hey, do what you want." Because heaven's for everybody. Well, I'll tell you right now, heaven's not for everybody. It was designed for everybody, but not everybody gets to go. Not everybody gets to go. There's going to be a judgment, and everyone gets to go to that. But heaven, not everybody's going. And the world we live in, the world that says do what you want, the world that says get your best life now, it's Rome. And what happens? Verse 31 says, without understanding, they had no cares. They didn't want to know God. They didn't seek God. They couldn't care less about God at this point. Covetous, without natural affection, impassible, unmerciful. Verse 32 is where it's like, man, these people didn't care one bit. Knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. These people wholeheartedly understood, I would imagine through the people that are preaching the gospel, hey, here's the outcome to your lifestyle. Here's the outcome to what you're doing. Here's the outcome to this lifestyle that you're living, and it's death. It says in verse 32 that they knew the judgment that was upon them. They knew what was in store if they continued this lifestyle. And it says, not only did they do those things, but they took pleasure in those people who did those same things with them. They built those people up, saying, "Hey man, this church, this God stuff, forget about it. Look how much fun we're having doing what we want to do. Look how much fun we're having getting our best life now. Look how much fun we're having sleeping in on Sundays. Look how much fun we're having not showing up on Wednesday nights. Look how much fun we're having sleeping around, doing drugs, alcohol, pornography. Isn't that the fun lifestyle?" To these people, maybe. To this world, it is. It's a blast. But what's the outcome? Death. yeah, we're all going to die a physical death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But to knowingly go against God and knowingly commit these things that are worthy of death and to take pride and joy in doing these things, it's hard to say, but it's what they deserve. It's what God's word says. This is the lifestyle you want to live. If this is the lifestyle that excites you, and this is the lifestyle that you get your joy out of, that says have at it. But it's worthy of death. Plain and simple. Phil was preaching on Sunday that God's word has all the answers. If you look, you'll find it. If you seek, you'll find it. If you knock, the door will be opened. People knew that. These Roman people, they knew that. We know that. We understand through our conscience that there is a God. We understand through our spirit that if we have the Spirit in us, that this is what God wants for my life. Even without Him, we can see clearly here that God knows. God has placed this in our lives for a reason. It's not just to like, yeah, you hit that stop sign and maybe I shouldn't do this and you blow through it. No, it's to stop and think and to seek. Stop, think, seek, figure out what God wants for you. Not just run into, you know, not be a blind Roman and do what you want and get your best life now, because guys, I'm telling you, this is real. And when I got saved when I was 19, you could have told me anything about this. I wouldn't have cared, because I was living my best life, man. I was doing all these things that are talked about in verses 29 through 32, and I was loving it. It was the best years of my life. I didn't have a care in the world. I couldn't care less about God. And then I got saved. And then you start thinking about, well, these words are true. These things are true. And you start thinking about the people that don't have that salvation, that don't have that same opportunity. Well, not opportunity. They don't have that same end game. They don't have that same thing. They have death. And for us as Christians, we ought to be able and willing to do what Paul said in verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." It's not this gift of salvation that Paul is preaching across the world, across the Middle East, across from Rome to Corinth, and everywhere in between, and everywhere east of it. We ought to have the same understanding and the same urgency as Paul. This world that we're living in is our Rome. This community out here, Huntington County, it's our Rome. The people out there are these people that Paul's describing in verses 19 through 32. And we're fine with just kicking back and twiddling our thumbs and, hey, they, you know, somebody might come in that door tonight. Somebody might come in this snowy night and hear something that they hadn't heard. But it's our job to ask them. It's our job to share with them. It's our job to preach that gospel, preach that salvation story, preach that good news to these people. And right after I got done having that conversation with the guy at work today, we started talking about going back to church, and another coworker of mine comes up, and he's standing there, and I said, "What's up?" He said, "Hey, what do you think?" And he heard me talking about God, and heard me talking about church, and he heard me talking about Jesus. He said, "Hey, what do you think Jesus' last words were on the cross?" And I was kind of floored. I was like, "Whoa, man, are you, like, seriously, you want to know?" And I told him, you know, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit. And he said, "You don't think it was," and he used some vulgar words and stuff, and I was thinking, Rome. This guy knows, he hears, he has a conscience leading him, but devil is blinding him. Satan's got a hold on his life. Satan's got a hold on this community. Maybe on some of you. Doesn't have to be that way. Because Paul says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I asked a question at the beginning of service, and I asked, would it be fair to be punished for something that you never knew was to be wrong? And like I said, most of you guys said, no, that wouldn't be fair. So the follow-up question to that is, would it be fair to be punished for something that you did that you knew was wrong? Would it be fair to suffer the consequences, the knowing and rightful consequences to your actions? And I'm not talking about breaking the law. I'm not talking about going out there and stealing something. Yeah, there's consequences to that, but what I'm talking about is what God's talking about, which is death. But there is good news. All throughout Scripture, it's pointing to the one who can take you off that deathbed. Because that's, if you're not there, that's where you're at. You're on that deathbed waiting for that line. What's those things called? Those monitors? Waiting for that to flatline. That's all you're doing. You're biding time. People got you hooked up on sin, lust, all these things, and that's your life support right now. But Jesus Christ says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." And as we stand tonight, I know there's some of you thinking, what the heck is he talking about? This is a bunch of hogwash. I don't even know why I'm here tonight. Nobody else is. Nobody else showed up. I would have had any other excuse to not show up. Tonight was a good night to have that excuse. But Paul was able to go from place to place, preaching the gospel through his ailments, through his hard times, in the hopes that somebody or somebodies might get saved through it.